we're continuing our reading of the Bible together, and we're at Leviticus 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "You shall also say to the sons of Israel, any man from the sons of Israel or from the alien sojourning in Israel who gives any of his offspring to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will also set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given some of his offspring to Molech so as to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. If the people of the land, however, should ever disregard that man when he gives any of his offspring to Molech, so as not to put him to death, then I myself will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut off from among their people both him and all those who play the harlot after him by playing the harlot after Molech. As for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. If there is anyone who curses his mother, his father, or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him. If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. If there is a man who lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed incest. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who marries a woman and her mother, it is immorality. Both he and they shall be burned with fire, that there may be no immorality in your midst. If there is a man who lies with an animal, he shall surely be put to death. You shall also kill the animal. If there is a woman who approaches any animal to mate with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who takes his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, so that he sees her nakedness and she sees his nakedness, it is a disgrace, and they shall be cut off in the sight of the sons of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He bears his guilt. If there is a man who lies with a menstruous woman and uncovers her nakedness, he has laid bare her flow, and she has exposed the flow of her blood. Thus both of them shall be cut off from among their people. You shall also not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister or of your father's sister, for such a one has made naked his blood relative. They shall bear their guilt. If there is a man who lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. If there is a man who takes his brother's wife, it is abhorrent. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. You are therefore to keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them, so that the land to which I am bringing you to live will not spew you out. Moreover, you shall not follow the customs of the nation which I shall drive out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I have abhorred them. Hence I have said to you, you are to possess their land, and I myself will give it to you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the peoples. You are therefore to make a distinction between the clean animal and the unclean, and between the unclean bird and the clean. And you shall not make yourselves detestable by animal or by bird or by anything that creeps on the ground, which I have separated for you as unclean. Thus you are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. Now a man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. Thus reads the word of God. Leviticus 20, verses 7 and 8. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. In this morning's reading are many specific prohibitions given by God to the people whom he had redeemed unto himself. The reason for having to so specifically spell out this matter of behavior was because the peoples and the nations surrounding the children of Israel were doing these things. These were the actions and the defilements which resulted in their destruction by God. He was removing those nations from the land and giving it to his own chosen people. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. If the Israelites wanted to remain in the promised land, they would have to honor the holiness of God in the course of their daily walk before him. This morning, we want to concentrate on what is a key truth, not only for the people of God in the Old Testament, but for us today. It is the elemental facet of our salvation and our relationship with God as it was for the nation of Israel. It is the truth that everything concerning our salvation is based on the reality that it is God who has sanctified us, as he was the one who sanctified his chosen people of old. Everything was by the plan and the purpose and the omnipotence of God, and not based in any measure on us, on our worthiness, or on the worthiness of the children of Israel. From the very beginning, in the promise made to Abraham, it was always God who was going to fulfill his pledge. He instituted the covenant, and he maintained it, and he perfectly completed it in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. All has always and will forever be because God chose to do it for the reasons that he alone knows. By his eternal faithfulness, and his sovereignty, and his holiness, and his honor, he brought into being a people, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that would be his chosen people, his holy nation, his own family of his working power and grace and mercy. We see this inherent in the Hebrew word translated as sanctified, which we read again in our morning's passage. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. According to Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words, the following definition demands our attention to the truth that God is the one who causes it or brings it into place in his people. Quote, In the primary stem, the verb signifies an act whereby or a state wherein people or things are set aside for me in the worship of God. They are consecrated or made sacred. By this act and in this state, the thing or person consecrated is to be withheld from workaday use or profane use and to be treated with special care as a possession of God. End quote. It is God who set aside this people to whom Moses was detailing the activities that were not to be part of their behavioral dealings. They were to avoid all those things that would demean them and would cause them to express less than the holiness that God had put before them by His choice of them as His own. They were to act in the manner of who they now were in the eyes of God as an example of His holiness to all nations surrounding them. They were to be that peculiar people who did not practice the abominations of the rest of the world. They were to be seen as different, as holy in their dealings with each other, with their neighbors, and especially in their devotion and their commitment to the Lord God Almighty, who was the one who had made them His own. God emphasized the fact that He was the one who set them apart for Himself over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament. It was a declaration to bring to their remembrance that apart from the action of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love, they would be just like the rest of the world. Their peculiarity was because God had sanctified them unto Himself, which He had not done with any other people. This was not due to their worthiness, but because He decided on this course from before the foundations of the world were laid. We find this expressed in Exodus 31:13, as God made known the fact that the people were to honor Him in the keeping of the Sabbath as a weekly reverent setting aside of all earthly activity in commemoration and in dedication unto Him. Exodus 31:13. But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. This was not done by any of the other peoples of the region. Those peoples had to work and to labor and to struggle every day to make a livelihood. It was the people of God who trusted Him and counted on Him to supply each day, including the Sabbath, that which was needed for them to live and to prosper. Then, in Leviticus 21:8, God further made known how His priests would serve Him and serve the nation in their duties before both. As such, they were to be seen as the representatives of God to the people and the people unto God. They were to be consecrated in the hearts of the nation as those chosen by God through their birth to be the agents of God's sanctification for the nation through their offering of the sacrifices. They played a most important role in the means by which God would continually work to sanctify His nation. Leviticus 21:8, "You shall consecrate him, therefore, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctifies you, am holy." That chapter and the following, chapter 22 in Leviticus, outline the manner in which the priests were to honor their office of service in a way that would be one of reverence and holiness unto God. They presented to the nation the outworking of God's established plan and purpose. As such, they were held to a higher standard in their behavior and their interactions with the people. This was a standard that was not to be exalted above the rest of the people, but to be an example of how God's sanctification of His people would be worked out in the daily manner of honoring God through faithful service. In Leviticus 22:15-16, God made it known that the gifts which were offered to the Lord were to always be considered as sacred and to be handled and to be dealt with in care and in the reverence of the one who so worked to make His people His very own. It was never to be taken lightly or to be seen as merely tradition or custom. It was the working hand of God that continually brought into His people the truth of His sanctification in the lives that they were to lead each and every day. Leviticus 22:15-16. "And they shall not profane the holy gifts of the sons of Israel, which they offer to the Lord, and so cause them to bear punishment for guilt by eating their holy gifts. For I am the Lord who sanctifies them." Notice, it is the Lord throughout who sanctifies. At the end of chapter 22, verses 31 through 33, God reiterated with utmost emphasis how He viewed all that He had put into place by His calling and His salvation of this people. Leviticus 22:31-33. "So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. And you shall not profane my holy name, but I will be sanctified among the sons of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out from the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord." Since He was the one who brought them out of slavery and into this relationship as His own chosen nation, they needed to exhibit to the rest of humanity the reality that they were holy because He made them holy. They had been a forlorn people, enslaved in Egypt, brutally used to construct the buildings of their slave masters, harvesting the crops of their oppressors, tending the flocks and herds of their possessors. They had no land. They had no national identity until God chose them unto Himself and took them through the wilderness to create in them the knowledge that He would provide for their every need. He would go before them in battle and he would be their shield and their protector. Accordingly, they were to simply honor and obey and reap the fruits of his goodness. Just as God was the one who was sanctifying them, so also he was the one giving them the land to inhabit and to enjoy, as we read in Deuteronomy 4:1. Deuteronomy 4:1. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, in order that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. All of this was in order for them to recognize that what they had and who they were was all the provision of God for them. There was nothing that they had earned, and there was nothing about them that made them worthy of God's divine presence and accommodation. It was all because God so chose them unto himself. Sadly, this was all forgotten by the people as they were successful in the habitation of the land. They became set in the idea that they had made a name for themselves. Then they desired to be as the other nations surrounding them, with a human king, and even began to worship the idols of those other nations. They did so in order to be like them, rather than separated and consecrated and sanctified unto the Lord. The prophets continually voiced the word of the Lord to return to the Lord with all their hearts and to remember from whence they had come into this land. But the people refused and disobeyed. The prophets pleaded with them as the voice of God to remember the Lord's covenant with them and to repent of their evil ways and to once again honor the Lord by forsaking all the filth and the abominations that had caused the removal of the peoples before them in the promised land. Listen to but one of the prophets, as Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 20:11-12, reminds them of the goodness that the Lord laid before them if they would but abide by His holiness. Ezekiel 20:11-12. And I gave them my statutes and informed them of my ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will live. And I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Then in Ezekiel 37:23, the promise was made that when God again sanctified His people, there would be a change of heart and mind and behavior. Ezekiel 37:23. And they will no longer defile themselves with their idols or with their detestable things or with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. And Ezekiel further emphasized that what God would do was going to be done forever in verses 26 through 28. To this point, all the sacrifices of the priests and the law and the activities had only showed that even when God did the work for the nation, the hearts of humanity were not able to set themselves upon Him. He had to give them a completely new nature of life and a new heart of commitment from which they would not only recognize His holiness, but they would desire to be holy themselves in order to honor Him fully. Ezekiel 37, verses 26 through 28. And I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place will also be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. This was accomplished through the giving of His only begotten Son. Again, the full activity and the source and the means to establish our sanctification is all from God, so that we can never make any claim that it's because of our worthiness. Everything proceeds by the fulfilled working power of God to establish it. The Apostle Paul emphasized the truth of this in 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 31. 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 31. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, that He might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Then, in the Apostle Paul's letters to the Thessalonians, such as 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 24, there is the reminder that God is faithful to do it fully and completely, because He is the one who has accomplished all that is required for our being brought into this living relationship with Himself. This is not by the blood of animals, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. Finally, please follow along as we read together the joyous emphasis of who we now are in Jesus Christ, as described in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. It is God who has chosen us as He chose the nation of Israel. He is the one who has released us from the bondage of sin and death. He is our sanctification, and He is our Savior, our Provider, our God, our King, our everything. It is all His work and His love and His grace and His mercy in action to bring forth His testimony in His people. So be it. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Amen.